Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the adult class of Abundant Life Baptist Church. We are studying in Dr. Sexton's, Clarence Sexton's course on the miracles of Jesus. We are in chapter 13, which finishes up on the first volume. And Sister Darlena is informing, we have our books up here. She ordered the second volume, so we'll hand those out in just a little while. Brother Ronnie, would you open us up in a word of prayer? Prayer, Ronnie Jefferson.
Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord, for being in your house and honor you, dear Lord.
Yes,
Lord. We pray for Brother Joe, dear.
Help me, Lord. Help me.
Listen, be with me, Addie, and open the hearts to the word of God in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The 13th chapter in this course is entitled, They Spread Abroad His Fame. They Spread Abroad His Fame. Dr. Sexton begins, he says, people must hear about Jesus Christ. They need to hear about him from those who know and love him. You know, you can hear about Jesus Christ from people that don't know him and don't love him, and they have nothing good to say about him. So if we want people to know the truth about Christ, it's going to have to come from us, because the world has their truth, and they say you have your truth. Well, God tells us his word is truth, and everything else is pretty much a lie. So we need to understand that before we start. Dr. Sexton says this means that people need to hear about him from his children who are filled with his spirit. If we are filled with his spirit, we're going to be talking about him. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you've been redeemed by the Lord, say so. We don't need to hold back. And, you know, Pastor Dale said one time, he talked about a guy who he was very sick, and they wanted to make sure that he was saved, and they weren't sure that he was saved, and said, well, he's never made a profession. Well, he had gone forward a time, and he said, yeah, I'm saved. I just never told anybody about it. So, they dealt with him, and, you know, to make sure that he was saved. But, you know, if there's not a change in our lives when we come to the Lord, we need to make sure that we understood what happened. And, you know, you can come forward and have an emotional experience and still not know the Lord. We need to understand, we need to make sure. You know, we're told to make our election sure. We need to make sure of that. So, and you know what, when you're a child of God and you talk to someone else and say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, it doesn't take very much talking to understand, to know they know about him. They don't know him, you know. So that's one thing we need to know. So we need to be the ones who speak about Jesus, and we need to be the ones who talk about Jesus. The world is, they have no compunctions about talking about him, but that's what they do. They talk about him. They don't tell of his goodness. They don't tell of his ability to save. He started this group, this Christian group, and it's hung around for a long time. But we need to be the ones who speak about him and tell about him. The Bible says in Matthew 9:27-31, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day, Lord. We know it's cold out there, but we know it's warm in here, Lord. We just We just thank you for that. Thank you for a warm place, a comfortable place that we can come. We just pray that as we open your word, we pray that you would open our hearts and help us to receive that word gladly and learn those things that would make us better workers in the kingdom. We just ask you to go with us. Forgive us when we do sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dr. Sexton says, note the rest of the miracle. God's word says in verse 31 that they spread abroad his fame. Now I'm going to stop here just a second. You know, Jesus told them not to do that. They did that. What is anything that God wants done we don't do? What's that called? It's called sin. But Jesus had a reason for that. I think he felt his time hadn't come yet. But they wanted people to know what he could do. And, you know, we are supposed to noise about Jesus. We don't do it. They were told not to and did it, and we're told to do it, and a lot of times we don't do it. You know, so we can't really look at these fellows and say, well, they sinned and they... Yes, Jesus told them not to do it. I'm sure he knew they were going to do it anyway, but he told them not to. So we can't really look at them harshly with that, because many times we don't when we're told to tell about him. So as we read about these mighty miracles that God did, may the Lord stir our hearts, Dr. Sexton says, not simply to observe the miracles, but to desire for other people to know our miracle-working God. We may talk about having a good God. We may talk about having a great God. We may talk of having a loving God, a kind God, and a compassionate God. But in the end, we are all grateful that he is a miracle-working God. He has redeemed us. That's the greatest miracle of all, folks. We're all hell-bound sinners. And that... through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit opens eyes that are blinded by the devil. You think of that. You know, the Bible tells us that we're blinded until the Holy Spirit enlightens us to the dangers our souls are in. We go about our business. We don't care to hear about Jesus. I told you before, I know in the Army, there would be guys to knock on, come in and they wanted to talk to us about Jesus, and when they did, I got this, I wish I could get out the back door. I didn't understand that. Didn't want to hear about it. And thank God one day I did want to hear about it. So, you know, when we're rebuffed by people, when we try to tell them about Jesus, they're not rebuffing us, they're rebuffing him. They're not refusing us, they're refusing him. They're not ridiculing us, they're ridiculing him. So we need to just remember that. He said, you know, the world's going to hate you because they hated me first. And I've got a message. And that message, when you try to deliver it, they're going to hate you for it. This is the passage under consideration, Matthew chapter 1. Contains a cluster of miracles. He said, looking at this particular miracle about two blind men, consider the arrangements of the scripture and how God, in this passage, put the cluster of miracles together. He said, there are a number of references to blind people being healed in scripture. There are some particular things that give this passage distinction. One of these distinctive things is that several miracles are clustered together. You remember, and we're going to speak again about Jairus' daughter and the woman with an issue of blood, because they're told about in different gospels. A little bit of nuance, a little different, because we how we know the whole story is we look at all of them, because someone's perspective might have been that this was important to them. Well, God allows men, even though he inspires them to write, he allows them to put their own personality in there too. That's why their writings are different. But they all speak the same truth. They all speak the same truth. So the case involving these miracles, the Bible says in Matthew 9, verses 18 and 19, While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. In the first case, we remember, we know that was Jairus, and his daughter was at the point of death, and he considered she was so far gone that she was basically dead. He didn't know how long she had, but he was trying to get Jesus to come to give her healing. In the first case, he says, Dr. Sexton says, this cluster of miracles concerned a man who was a ruler of the synagogue, a well-to-do man, who needed the Lord Jesus to do something that he could not do himself. The Bible goes on to tell us in Matthew 9, 20 and 22, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You know, we studied this last week. A little bit of nuance, a little different, but much the same. And it says that Dr. Sexton says, the second case is about a woman. We have a man here who is respected. He's a ruler of the synagogue, and then we have a woman who has nothing. But the common denominator there is Jesus. Doesn't make any difference whether we have an abundance or whether we have nothing. We can come to Jesus, and he can affect things in a positive way. No matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're in between, doesn't make any difference what the problem is. One had a health issue, one had a dying daughter, and yet Jesus was able to handle both of those things and have no problem doing it. Dr. Sexton says, the second case about the woman, he said, unlike the man who wanted Christ to come and touch someone, this woman wanted to come and touch the Lord Jesus. He said, the thing that makes her like all the other cases considered here is that she had a great need, and she brought that need to the Son of God. Jairus had a great need. He brought that need. You know, when we have a need, there's who we need to take it to. I've said before, I'm mystified about people who say, well, I've tried everything else and there wasn't anything left to do but pray. Folks, if you're a child of God, do that first. Do that first. The Bible tells us about the blind men in Matthew 9, verses 27 through 31. It said, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Dr. Sexton says, we got a ruler. We have a very weak woman who was at the point of exhaustion from loss of blood. We have two blind men. We have a cluster of miracles there that are spoken about. And each one of these had a different problem that Jesus was able to take care of. A lot of our problems, we think, well, nobody can do that. And we might even think, well, Jesus, God doesn't work that way now. Hey, God still performs miracles. God still does. And yes, sometimes we pray for healing, and healing doesn't come this side of eternity. But healing does come. Even when that person we pray for goes to be with the Lord, healing has been affected. You could ask that person in heaven, do you feel better? Every one of them feels better. I remember I told you Ricky Skaggs said that he missed his dad. He said, I miss my daddy. He said, my daddy doesn't miss me. He's in heaven. He said he wouldn't come back if he could. That's true. Folks who are in heaven want to be with the Lord. And once they're with the Lord and with their loved ones, who've gone on, then they wouldn't come back. They wouldn't want to come back. Dr. Sexton said, we found this ruler, a very weak woman, and blind men, all of them following after Jesus. The blind men stumbling along the road. And when they went into the house, he talked to them. He says, the fourth case in these miracles brings us to a man who was demon-possessed. The Bible says in Matthew 9, 32 and 33, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Dr. Sexton says, use your imagination for a moment. Christ was in that area of Galilee. There were people thronging about him. There were mothers probably lifting their babies so he would cast his eyes on them, or they could get a glimpse of him. They could say, listen, I saw the man. I saw him. He looked at me, you know. So they knew that there was something about Jesus that was not, he was not an average man. He may have had an average look about him, but once he began to speak, they knew he was something other than just a man who preached righteousness. You know, when the Pharisees sent them to take Jesus, and they came back empty-handed and said, nobody ever spoke like this fella. You know, so they realized that there was something about him. And now, had it been Jesus' time, they'd have brought him back. It wasn't his time. And they heeded what he said. They knew that by the way he spoke, the authority that he spoke with, there was something different about him. Never a man spake like this man. So this one parallel passage tells us that there were so many people that thronged him, actually pressing against him. They were nearly crushing him as he walked. There was not a moment that somebody's body wasn't touching against his. The disciples were with him, making their way through the crowds also. Dr. Sexton goes on to say, in that multitude of people, in that multitude that marveled and said that it had never been like this in Israel, there were different types of people. One was the ruler, a distinguished person. People looked up to him. But you know, when his daughter got sick, the doctors, no one could help him. No one could help him. All of his influence, any wealth that he had, was as nothing. He was as dependent upon Jesus as a beggar in the street. We had one who was a poor, sickly woman. She had little in a way of worldly goods, because it said she spent everything trying to be healed. And the only thing that relieved her of was her money. So then we're introduced to the two blind men who were reduced to begging for a living. Then we see a demon-possessed man who had all kinds of thoughts and ideas. He couldn't express them because this demon that he was possessed with wouldn't allow him to speak. Dr. Sexton says, do you wonder why God put all these different cases together, lining them together in one string, like a string of pearls, like a beautiful string of pearls? All different walks of life, all different social structure, all different financially. Make a difference. Jesus can handle anything from anybody, any need they have. He can do it. God says, here's my son. Hear him. He can give you anything that you need. All of them had a need. No one could meet that need except Jesus. Nobody could give sight to the blind. Nobody could heal that woman's issue of blood, and nobody could raise Jairus' daughter. There was only one hope that each one of them had, and that was Jesus. Dr. Sexton says, there's no two people in the world exactly alike. God has made it that way. But the thing that strings us all together on one common cord is that every one of us has a need that only the Lord Jesus can meet. You know, we're all lost before we meet Jesus. Every human who has ever lived has a need that only Jesus can meet. Only Jesus can save. Only faith in Him. I don't care what anybody else tells you, what anybody with a string of letters after their name and whatever. The Bible tells us there's only one place that we're going to meet salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And John 14:6 tells us that. He tells us that. So I don't care what anybody else tells you. If you're going to believe somebody, you believe Jesus. Believe Him. Let God be true and every man a liar. The condition of these people, Dr. Sexton, this is his first subheading, their condition. The Bible says this man, Jairus, had one daughter who was 12 years old and she was dying. He knew that if she did not get help, she was going to be dead. She couldn't live. As a matter of fact, in the gospel according to Matthew, he speaks of her as being dead. In the other, in Luke, he speaks of her as, it says she lay a-dying. So she was as good as dead. The doctors had probably already given her up. You know that Jairus had called in all of the best physicians. He had called in, and the little girl probably had gotten sick before, but she'd always gotten better. And this time, she wasn't getting any better. And so we understand that this time was different. This time Jairus needed something that the doctors couldn't give him. Looking at the woman, we see that she was an outcast because of her issue of blood. From reading the Mosaic law, we understand she would have been cast out of the synagogue and not allowed to be involved in the worship. Most commentators agree she would have been divorced or at least forsaken by her husband because they identified this prolonged hemorrhaging in her body as something brought on because of sin. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that she had committed sin. As a matter of fact, Jesus had no compunctions about telling one to go and sin no more. He told her to go in peace. So we don't, you know, Job's friends said, oh, come on, fess up. What sin? We know you've done something wrong. This is why God is doing this to you. And that's in there. Sometimes when things happen to us, it's not because we've sinned. Now, we're sinners. But it's not necessarily something that God has brought to our door to because of sin. Sometimes we have adversity because God wants us to lean on Him. We've gotten away from trusting in Him. We've gotten away from depending on Him. Sometimes that adversity is God's way of saying, listen, you trusted me once, you leaned on me once, come back to me. So we need to understand this. It's not always because of sin. But they would have thought, well, she's done something wrong. So she would have been shunned. She'd have been separated from her family. She would have been in absolute loneliness after 12 years. And, you know, you're weak, you're despondent. The only hope that she had was in this man, Jesus, that she'd heard so much about. She'd heard about healing. She'd heard about so much. Yet in that throng of people, this weakened woman in her state, and I believe that's by the providence of God, He allowed her the strength to make it to Him. That's why we have it in here. In that throng of people, she managed to get her way there to touch just the very hem of His garment. Those two blind men, the Bible says, cried out when they heard the name of the Lord Jesus. No doubt there was an electricity in the air, something they had never felt before. They couldn't see Him. All they could hear was about, here He is, there He is, there He goes. And so they wanted to meet Him. They knew that he could help them too. Just think. You think they've ever been to doctors and said, well, we're sorry, but you're blind. There's nothing we can do about that. We can't help you. And yet, Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? Do you have faith? And they said, yes, Lord. And he said, be it as you've said. And they were able to see. Dr. Sexton says, I do not think Jairus made too much of a fuss or too loud of a noise, but he was insistent on getting to Christ. The poor woman, she tried to be unnoticed. She tried to sneak up. Well, you can't sneak up on God. Can't run from him, can't hide from him, can't sneak up on him. Someone said, don't ever play chess with the Lord. He knows where you're going. He knows your next moves in the next 1,000 games. He said, don't ever play chess with him. He says, but the two blind men, they were noisy guys. Why were they? Well, they couldn't see him. All their experience was with sound. And how do you get yourself noticed? You speak up. And so they were noisy about it. I think that tells us, yeah, there's no right or wrong way to come to the Lord if you come with a broken heart and wanting to be saved, wanting to be His. You know, Pastor Jeff Fugit said one time, he said, I've had people get saved and run the aisles. I've had people get saved and cry. I've had people get saved and laugh. I've had people get saved and shake my hand and said, thank you so much. He said, there's no wrong way to do it. I think God's shown us whether you come silently, whether you come insistently, whether you come noisily, God accepts a broken heart, a need for a Savior, confessing that need. I think that's what needs to happen. You know, and He will take care of that. He can affect that. And He said, if you come to me, I will not cast you out for any reason. I will in no wise cast you out. Dr. Sexton says, we see in this unusual passage where they were so insistent, the blind men were, you know, they would use their hands to feel along, couldn't see. And he says, once they were inside the house, they were still making noise and crying out because they couldn't see him, but they wanted him to know. Jesus knew they were there. They couldn't have made a sound and he would have known they were there. But they were still crying out to him. He says, Dr. Sexton says, when we see this passage, an unusual fellow possessed by a demon, he couldn't speak at all. So we have people yelling and screaming, and then we have a man who can't speak at all. And yet they all come to the Lord, and he affects what they need. He gives them what they need. No ifs, ands, buts about it. He gives them what they need. And they need diverse things. You know, we have doctors who are skilled in one area. Many different areas. That's why we go to specialists. One doctor who may be a terrific surgeon would know nothing about problems of the mind. And yet Jesus, it made no difference. He could affect everything. They didn't have to go to a specialist. They had come to the great physician. He could do anything. He could heal anything. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord shows us in this cluster of miracles, yes, we can turn to our own way, but when we are in trouble, when we're in need, the only place to turn to is Him. See, we think when things are going great, well, I got this, Lord. I don't need your help. We always need His help. I've said before, You know, we need to get up every day and thank the Lord for what we have. Thank him for the blessings that we have. Thank him for what he's given us. Ask him to guide us through the day. Because if we're actively show him that we... Now, he knows whether we're depending on him or not. But he wants us to come to him and acknowledge that and confess our need for him, confess our dependence on him. While we're doing that, you see, we can get, if we don't do that, we can get complacent and we can get away and we just start, oh, well, I'm all right. I believe in the Lord Jesus and I'm... But we've gotten away from depending on him. So we need to always acknowledge that we do need to depend on him. The sheep, like sheep, have gone astray. You know, like he said, the poem that you read, brother, that said, you know, if the sheep go astray, so will the little lambs. Because little lambs will follow the sheep. And when we lead the lambs astray, guess what? We will answer for that. We will answer for that. Dr. Sexton says, we may be like the quiet woman that no one knew who lived in loneliness, going home to an empty room with no one to talk to. We may be in a weak physical condition like she was, thinking that very few people in the world know anything about us. There are people in that situation all the time. And yet there's always someone we can go to if we know the Lord Jesus. Dr. Sexton says, we may be like the noisy blind men and someone is a little embarrassed by our behavior. Or there may be something strange about you, like this demon-possessed man. No matter what our condition, no matter what our upbringing, no matter what our circumstances or our personalities, no matter what is taking place in our lives, we've all got the same need. And you see, we all have the need for a Savior. And once we come to the Savior, we all have a need to stay with him and to follow him. You know, I've said before, if you have a drowning man, you pull him out of the pool or out of the water and you make sure he's breathing okay. Well, have a good day, buddy. You don't do that. You make sure that you call somebody who can assess his situation, make sure he's all right, take care of him. That's what we need to do with people who are newly saved. You know, they have that experience, but, you know, they also need to know the devil's going to come about against them hot and heavy. You know, when you're going along with the devil, you don't hear much about him because you're heading in the same direction. But once you turn around, you're going to turn around and you're walking with him. You turn away from him, he's going to run and get in your face. So, you know, people think, oh, everything will be just fine once I come to the Lord. All my problems will go away. Oh, no. All your problems will come at you. The things, the world will come at you. The devil will come at you. But Jesus says, don't think that that's strange. Don't think because you have these things. It happened to him. It's going to happen to us. But he says, you continue on. You continue on. Everything that happens to you is going to work out to your good. Romans 8:28 tells us that we just continue to follow him. And everything that happens in our life is going to work out to our good. Because when you're in heaven one day, I don't care what you had to go through. Some might be horrific things. But once you're in heaven, that's all behind you. That's all behind you. No more temptation, no more sorrow, no more pain. When Christ came into the home of Jairus, the people laughed him to scorn. He said, the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. He had to put the scorners out before the miracle was performed. He wasn't going to let. Now, you know, I want to be plain here. Jesus asked them if they had faith. They were healed because they had faith. Now, can Jesus heal if someone doesn't have faith? Sure he can. He can do that. But what he wants is you to acknowledge where the healing came from. You remember the man at the pool who was waiting to be got into the pool for healing, and Jesus asked him, would you be healed? You might say, well, of course he'd be healed. That's why Jesus asking the question to get his eyes off the pool and onto him. The pool wasn't going to help him. He had first get his eyes on what was going to help him, and that was Jesus. Before God does a mighty work, this must be a mighty purging. He said it may be a personal purging, a family purging, or a ministry purging. Let us read God's word and allow him to purge us. The Lord Jesus cast the scorners out of the house. He wouldn't let them. You know, we might think, okay, y'all just stand here and watch. Yeah, you don't believe. She's dead. Ha, ha, ha. Just stand there and watch here. Get an eye full of this. That's not what Jesus was about. You don't believe, get out. Y'all get out. Peter, James, and John and the parents were in the room. He says, arise. She did, and he says, give her something to eat. Give her meat to eat. So one moment, wailing and grief, crying. And the next moment, grief, or tremendous laughter, joy. You know, God can take us. Christ can take us from a moment of sorrow, and in the next moment, we have joy. You know, we can ask him to give us peace about something that's happening to us. And it may not go away. But you know, he says, if I don't keep you from it, I'll keep you through it. We're not promised that we're going to be kept from a lot of things. But he says, I'll give you the strength to get through it. Dr. Sexton says, you may think, I can't live. I'm under such a load. I just am not going to make it. That's in one moment. When Jesus comes, the next moment can be filled. You know, Oswald Smith wrote in his song, he says, then Jesus came. He says, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Dr. Sexton says, I imagine that little woman in this passage looked frail. She had been bleeding for 12 years. All of her strength was gone. The Bible tells us in other gospel records that she spent all she had on doctors. And she wasn't getting any better. He says, it is one thing to be suffering through a great trial. It is worse to be taken advantage of while you're going through it. And there are many charlatans today that think nothing of taking someone's money and then saying, well, yeah, I guess you just didn't have enough faith to be healed. They take advantage of the poor. You know, Jesus, we're not promised every one of us healing in this world. I've said before, you know, if you read John 17:17, Jesus wants everyone who's his to be with him. Where's he at? He's in heaven. That they might behold his glory. When we pray for someone and they get better, the Father has to tell the Son, not right yet, not now. Think about that. God the Father tells the Son, no, there's something else that I have for them to do. I forget who it was that said, I'm immortal until God calls me home, because I'm not going to die until he says, come home. The woman had been cast out of the synagogue. She'd been all alone, left by her husband, more than likely. There was no one to love her, care for her. She was in extremely weak condition. And the Bible says that somehow she got to Christ. She touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she was made whole. The Lord Jesus asked his disciples, who touched me? You know, you would think that would be kind of amusing. Say, can you hear Peter? Lord, everybody's touching you. Everybody that comes in contact with you is touching. How can we know who's touching you? Well, he felt power go from him. And so he turned. And this account says he pretty much turned, and he knew who it was. But so she'd spent all of her money. You know, it would have been much better for her had she come to Jesus first. But you know, sometimes the Lord allows us to come to a certain point till we get so down that there's nothing is going to help us but Him. You know, had she been able to come to the Lord when she still had her money, she might have thought, well, boy, wasn't I fortunate to be able to get to this fellow who could heal me. But God allowed her to get to a point where the only hope she had left was Jesus. Dr. Sexton says, remember, in that crowd, he said, no matter what kind of crowd you're in, not everyone in that crowd believes God as he should believe God. Not everybody in the crowd was seeking to touch Jesus or seeking to have Jesus help them. There were some who were just onlookers. Let's see who this guy, let's see who he is. So if we see him again, we can point him out and say, there's the guy that's causing so much trouble. A lot of them probably wanted just to see who he was. Someone believed him. Well, let's go see. Boy, he can do some strange stuff. Boy, I wonder how he does that. Wonder how he does that. Dr. Sexton says, every time I think of this passage, I think of how few people really get desperate enough to trust God for what they need. The Lord Jesus treated this woman with such tenderness. She had no family, no friends, no place to worship. And the Lord Jesus turns to her and says, daughter. He said, I've just adopted you. You come into the family of God. You belong to me. Tells her to go in peace. The blind men were outcasts. They were the scourge of society because the only way they could affect a living was to beg. And so most people, if they saw them, they would not say anything. Can you imagine people, and their ears would have been, that hearing would have been heightened because they couldn't see. Can you imagine people walking, seeing, oh, coming in, they were going, and going on the other side of the street, walking, so they wouldn't hear him, so they wouldn't have to hear him beg. You know, there's people that would do that. We've already learned that the Lord Jesus raised the dead and healed the sick. Dr. Sexton says, what have you heard about Jesus Christ? Have you heard that he can save and change a sinner? Has his fame spread abroad to you with the message that he can save someone you love? He says, maybe someone you know and love is in terrible sin. Has his fame spread to you that he can bring this person to himself and make something beautiful out of his life? Are you having trouble in your home? Have you heard that he can heal a home and bring a man and wife together and heal like no one else can? He says, have you not heard that the Lord Jesus can make him the man he should be, make her the woman she should be, the father he should be, the husband he should be, the wife she should be, the mother she should be? He says, are you having difficulty with a teenager? Ooh, yeah. When we had teenagers, we almost all did. And that's not all bad. That's a lesson for another time. Have you not heard that the Lord Jesus can work in the life of your teenager and cause him to love the Lord, love you, and love his home as he should? He says, I don't understand all of this. He said, but Jesus says, do you believe I'm able to do this? Folks, he is able. He's able and he's willing to do that. We just need to come to him. Dr. Sexton says, what a Savior we have. He said, I love him. I'm one of his miracles. Everyone who's a child of God in here is one of Christ's miracles today. May God help us to spread about his fame. As pastor is always saying, to know him, to make him known. That's our job. Once we know him, our job isn't over. It's just beginning. We need to spend the rest of our lives to make him known. Let's go to our workbooks quickly. I've already exceeded my time. Well, if I could just get that turned over here. The hurrier up I go, the farther behind I get. Monday in Psalm 107:2, who is speaking of the Lord? Who should be speaking? He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who's doing the speaking? Who should be speaking? The redeemed of the Lord. Tuesday, read Matthew 9:18-19. Whom does Christ deal with in this passage, and what is his need? Yeah, Jairus, and he needs his daughter. He wants his daughter to be healed. Wednesday, from Matthew 9:20-22, what is the situation of the woman? We know. Yes, she had the issue of blood. Thursday, who followed the Lord Jesus in Matthew? Remember, calling out to him. The two blind men. Friday, according to Matthew 9:32-33, what is the physical limitation of that man, the one with the demon? He couldn't speak. That's right, he couldn't speak. Saturday, according to Matthew 9:31, what was the end result of the miracle, and how does this remind us of our responsibility? What? Yeah, he could speak. He could speak, and once he could speak, and once we can speak, once the scales have fallen off of our eyes, we need to noise him about too. We need to speak about him and tell others what Jesus has done for us.